I don't know about you, but I feel like Satan has really been ramping up his attacks lately. I know so many people are battling health problems, relationship issues, family drama, loss of loved ones, you name it, and I know someone going through it. Then you pick up your phone and you get bombarded with just the craziest news. Seems like every day it just gets crazier. I find myself starting to become a little bit numb to it. It's so disheartening that we just get numb. I've been thinking about Matthew 24:12 a lot lately. And that's where Jesus says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Those are two points I would like to focus on today. Our love growing cold and enduring to the end. I think perspective really helps paint a picture. So I'm going to focus on two men that exemplify endurance and not losing heart. Let's go back to 1940. And I know my brother and I, for some reason, like to use a lot of World War II references. But it's 1940, and Douglas Bader, a young British pilot, is tearing through the skies in a Spitfire during the Battle of Britain. At 29, he's a legend in the Royal Air Force, or RAF. He's bold, charismatic, a dead-eye shot. But rewind 9 years earlier to 1931, when his life took a gut punch. During a stunt flying show, he crashed, losing both legs, one above the knee and one below. Doctors told him he'd never walk again, let alone fly. Most folks would have called it quits. They would have thrown in the towel, and they would have let despair win, but not Bader. This guy taught himself how to walk on clunky tin prosthetics. He drove cars, he played golf, and even danced with his wife. Through sheer grit, he convinced the RAF, the Royal Air Force, to let him back into the cockpit. During World War II, he shot down 22 enemy planes. He got captured, and he even escaped a few times from the German POW camps without legs. Bader didn't lose heart because he was driven by purpose. He was defending his country and proving that the impossible was possible. His story is incredible, and it's a true example of not losing heart and enduring through whatever situation that you're in. And he is known as the most famous RAF pilot of World War II. That brings me to Apostle Paul. He makes Bader's trials look like a warm-up. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And Paul wrote this while he was going through a laundry list of hardships. If you flip up a couple chapters to 2 Corinthians 11, 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27, he talks about these hardships. He says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. I mean, come on, I get frustrated when my Wi-Fi's down, but Paul's shipwrecks, I mean, stonings, he's just making that look like a normal Tuesday. So why didn't Paul give up? What kept him from losing heart? His secret was his focus on the unseen, God's kingdom, the resurrection, the promise of eternal life through Jesus' sacrifice. Like Bodder, Paul had a purpose that fueled him, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. In Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." That's the kind of fire that we need. Paul knew his sufferings were temporary, shaping him for an eternal role in God's family. He wasn't just surviving those sufferings, though. He was thriving. He was running his race with joy. How does this hit us today? Life can be brutal. Like I mentioned, we have health struggles. We have financial struggles. We've got the family drama. Everybody's got one. We've got constant pressure from a world that's drifting further and further away from God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like throwing up my hands and giving up when things get heavy. It's easy to lose heart when the news is all doom and gloom, or when personal trials pile up. Paul shows us how we can keep going by leaning on God's strength. The Holy Spirit, given at baptism after repentance and accepting Christ's sacrifice, renews us daily. We're called to live God's way by keeping his commandments, observing his Sabbath, going to the feast, and loving others selflessly. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it's our promise. It says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Our trials are temporary. God's kingdom is forever. So how do we stay bold like Paul? I've got three quick practical ways. First, we pray for strength. I mentioned this before, but in Acts 4, verse 29, it says the apostles prayed, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." You notice they didn't pray for safety or food. They prayed for courage. And we need to do the same thing. Second, keep your eyes on the goal. In Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14, it says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, the Feast of Tabernacles that we're about to celebrate reminds us of that goal, at Christ's return and the kingdom. Third, serve others. Matthew 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven," your Father in heaven, excuse me. You know, call someone who hasn't been to church in a while. Help a widow. Share the hope of the gospel with a coworker. These acts of love build God's character in us. Like I said, I've had some moments where I feel like it's easier just to give up. And maybe not give up on God, but on pushing forward with that same zeal that Paul had. Sometimes I'm tempted to coast and to be lukewarm, like I mentioned in past sermonettes. But stories like Bodder's and Paul's remind me that we're called to more. God's plan for us is to become his family, to rule with Christ in his kingdom. And that is worth every struggle. I'm going to end with one last scripture in Psalm 30, verse 5, because I think it's beautiful. It says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Our trials are forging an eternal legacy, just like Paul's did. He didn't quit because he believed in something bigger than himself. And we've got that ultimate purpose too. Entering God's family, living forever in his kingdom. So don't lose heart. Your struggles are shaping you for eternity. Have a happy Sabbath.